everyone, Hector here with Faith and Fandom. Just going to have a little solo podcast with you today, just because my life is too busy to talk to my friends. That's not good. Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about SuperCon and all that SuperCon was. If you are someone who listens to this and you are not from my region and you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm speaking of SuperCon, SuperCon that I refer to as Raleigh SuperCon. It is the second Raleigh SuperCon that has taken place. And Raleigh SuperCon is a big box Comic-Con that comes and sets up in the Raleigh region, meaning they are not like local comic book shop or artists or anything like that. They're a big corporation that comes in and they bring in, you know, big artists and big talent and stuff like that that everybody and their mom comes to. And so Raleigh SuperCon just took place this past weekend, and got some thoughts about it, some things I want to share, and also gonna hit up basically like my 10 highlights of the show. I don't know if there are 10, I haven't actually counted yet, but I'll figure that out as I'm talking to you. So the first one is this. I had the opportunity to do a Finding God in Geek Culture panel. Now, originally, this panel was going to be one of three panels that they had me doing as Faith and Fandom. I was going to do the Fanboy Face-Off panel, the Finding God in Geek Culture general discussion panel, and a full-blown geek church service where I could do a full-blown gospel presentation and geeky themes, which is basically what I do is do a chapter out of the books in a fleshed out version. But the geek church service got cut, so that left me with a Fanboy Face-Off and the Finding God in Geek Culture panel. But to be fair, I have zero right to complain about losing one panel from a show that gives me three, because there are shows that I've been doing for 5 years that won't give me one, so I can't complain. But the Finding God in Geek Culture panel was actually scheduled originally for, you know, like 3 or 4 in the afternoon on Saturday, but ended up being scheduled for Saturday night at 8:30 p.m. Now, you don't know the schedule, but the show ended at 8. So when I first saw this, I was like, man, that's kind of ratchet. Why am I doing a panel after hours? And that's one of the things, though. I haven't participated in enough shows that actually do after hours content, because what I didn't realize is that putting a panel after hours at a show like this isn't brushing it off. It's actually giving it a prime time slot and space. And so they weren't shafting me or, you know, trying to brush me under the rug. They were actually giving me a prime time slot. Because what I come to realize is that the panels after and the activities after the show are in a lot of ways more popular and more attended than the stuff during the show. I didn't do a head count, but this actually turned out to be one of our largest attended panels, even though it was at 30 minutes after the con had ended. But the night's activities were filled with like a lot of craziness, and I can easily say there were more people after the show running around the convention center and at panels and stuff than there are at a lot of other shows during the show hours. So it was honestly crazy. But they had me at 8:30, and it was kind of like the beginning of the prime time slot. So it really, really was a blessing. And we had a great discussion. Some people did that, and it was actually the first panel that Vincent and I got to do together. Vincent didn't say a lot, but Vincent's also a little more introverted when it comes to crowds and stuff like that than I am. But in doing this, we just had a really good opportunity to share about what God was doing and what I saw in my perspective. And we had a lot of people actually come back by the booth the next day. So that was super cool. But, you know, they put us in the panel lineup, and the Saturday night lineup was bananas because this is legit the schedule. It went from, first of all, there are like six or seven panels going on at all times. So it's not like Faith and Fandom was the only thing going on at that hour. But immediately leaving from Faith and Fandom, you could walk right into either women's professional wrestling or a live stage production of the Rocky Horror Picture Show featuring two of the original cast. Then right after that, there was burlesque dancing with nerdy things. So, there was a ton of stuff going on. And the activities went on until 2 in the morning. I never made it past midnight either night that I was there. But there was a lot of crazy activities. So it was honestly cool that we got to be a part of that and to do that panel. So I was excited for that, and I'm always grateful for the opportunity to do panels and stuff like that. Second big thing that really hit me was my interaction with Tom King. Tom King is the current writer of Batman in DC Comics. He has written for the last 50 issues. He has signed on for 50 more, so he's telling a 100 arc story, and honestly, he's one of my favorite Batman writers, if not my favorite Batman writer of my adult life. That's saying a lot. But if you've listened to this podcast at all, you've heard Tom King mentioned over and over. But one of the craziest things is they actually put my booth right beside Tom King's booth. So I can see Tom King like the entire time we're at the weekend. Anybody in Tom King's line can see me and see our banners and stuff like that. So we had crazy spacing and we were in a good place. And so I got in Tom King's line on Friday, and I wanted him to specifically sign two issues of Batman that were the Sacred Vow arc, which is you've heard me talk about it on the podcast, or if you've read book 5, there's a chapter on it in there. About the simple fact, there's a story where Batman and Wonder Woman are trapped together for decades, and they choose to be faithful and have integrity over cheating on their significant others. And I love that story, so I went to have him sign it, and I said, dude, these are my favorite two issues that you've done, and it meant so much to me that you wrote them. And he said that everyone hates those issues, and that I was the first person that really said that anything positive to him about him. I told him why it mattered, that it mattered so much to me that Batman was someone of integrity, that Wonder Woman was someone of integrity, and then I even went on to tell him that it meant so much to my 10-year-old daughter that Wonder Woman would be that kind of example, even in that situation. So he said that he was kind of shocked, and he was kind of blown away by that. So he signed my issues, but then, learning from last year's SuperCon about I can't be quiet to my celebrity people that I interact with, I told him, I was like, hey, I wrote this book of devotional essays, and previously someone else that I interact with, one of my friends from Geeks Under Grace, had told me that he wasn't the most positive in how he responds to faith things. But I couldn't not risk the opportunity. So I said, hey, I wrote this book on faith and geek culture, and I actually wrote a chapter on this Batman Wonder Woman arc. And he was taken back by that, and he's like, let me see it. And so I told him the page number, which I'd conveniently learned earlier, just in case this interaction actually happened. And he turned there, and I could point right out in the page that in the middle of the first page it says, if you're not reading Tom King's Batman, you're missing up. And so he just kind of stood there or sat there and looked at the paper and was just kind of astonished that I had written about him, I guess, or maybe specifically that issue. But he signed my copy of book 5 with that in it, and then went on to, as he was leaving for the day, I approached him and said, hey man, if I don't want to push this on you, but if there's anything, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to give you a copy of book 5. And so he was like, yeah, I'll take that. And so Tom King took book 5. And then, that's one of the things, whenever you give a celebrity anything at a show, there's a good chance it's going to end up in the trash just out the gate. There's a good chance they're going to throw it away. So as they were packing up Tom King's stuff at the end of the show, my book was sitting on his table. under his banner with his personal stuff, and a friend took a picture of it and sent it to me. So it looks like my book actually made it through the show and maybe actually made it home with Tom King. But on the flip side, I actually had a little nightmare that DC Comics came after me and sent me a cease and desist letter. So, because Tom King gave the book. So, it's a coin toss, and obviously I need to not be afraid or deal with fear like that. But that was a thing. So, another interaction that I really, really enjoyed was meeting a couple. And I suck at names. And I totally forgot their names. And I don't even have... I don't even have a clue what to call them. But I met them first on maybe Friday or Saturday. And they were a couple that were dressed as Mr. and Mrs. Incredible. And or Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl. And they came to me and they talked to me about their booth and or about what they were doing and that they had bought some of the books the year before. And the cool thing was, she's doing their youth slash Sunday school class, and she said they do a chapter from Faith and Fandom every Sunday, like from all across the books. And that's one of the things where they let the kids pick what they're going to talk about next week from the books, and then they have a discussion on it as their class time. And this wasn't just like a random statement, like, they were able to actually, like, throw out, oh, yeah, that's, like, when you talk about this, like, when I mentioned something. And, oh, they said, oh, you do talk about that in the book. I was like, and they remembered more about my writing than I did, because they were referencing the Hunger Games chapter from whatever book I talked about the Hunger Games in. But they were referencing something that I had written, and it was just really great to me that they actually cared, that they did that, and it was just a crazy encouraging experience. I know that she taught the class, and I also know that the guy actually works with the 501st, so it was just really, really neat and encouraging. It was a great experience, and I was super grateful for what they did, and just for sharing their heart with me and sharing what it meant to them in that capacity. So yeah, the Faith and Fandom panel, Tom King, the Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl, they were a big deal. Another thing was my friend Kimberly. Kimberly and I met through fun circumstances at New Spring Church. When I was there at a conference, I was wearing a Doctor Who hat. She mentioned it. And I had copies of the book in my backpack, so I just gave her copies of the book since she actually recognized my Doctor Who hat. That was my way of spotting nerds. And, we kind of became friends after that. And when I was... After book two, I was kind of burnt out, and I didn't know if I would keep doing this, if I would keep doing Faith and Fandom. She really encouraged me. She really challenged me, and she basically, I can say this pretty confidently, that her encouragement, her reaction, her response to me when I was thinking about quitting is legit probably why I'm still doing this. I can say pretty confidently, unless God took me down another road, her responding to me the way she did is why Faith and Fandom still exists. And she comes and sees me anytime I'm at a show, and she came by to see me, and you know, even when she came by the booth, she was really encouraging in that. She brought up the fact that, you know, she talked about our story, and so I had run out. I didn't get the kids' book in stock because they got lost in the mail. So the only copy I had on the shelf was my personal copy from Amazon that I had bought just to look at. And I had it on shelf as a display. And so she straight up bought my display copy because it mattered to her to actually have the kids' book. And I'm telling you, man, that kind of encouragement, you think people that do this kind of stuff are confident, are secure, that they feel good in what they do. But honestly, everything about this can be pretty anxiety-inducing and can be pretty scary. And so her being that encouraging, her being that, man, it meant the difference to me. It makes a difference. And just interacting with her every time is something that it strengthens me. And so I would encourage you, if you have artists that you believe in, writers, artists, musicians, if you have people that you believe in doing that, seriously, encourage them. Let them know how much their work means to you.
And so one of the other biggest things is that someone posted after being at the show about two groups that were there. Someone compared us in contrast to the volatile Christian protesters, street preachers outside, and used us as a sermon illustration for what ministry looks like, and kind of painted us as the counterbalance to the ugly, volatile street preachers that are out there hurting people's hearts and making God look bad. And you know, he said that he actually used it as a sermon illustration that morning. And, you know, I don't know if that was ever our first goal, but man, I think we're super grateful and glad anytime we do get to serve as that counterbalance. Even Saturday night at our panel, one of the volunteers basically sought us for counseling because of how ugly and volatile the street preachers were to them. Like, they're not believers. Well, they were believers, but they were in a bad place. And that the street preachers had condemned them and told them they were going to hell and were ugly to them. And they asked if it was okay if they could talk to us as they closed out our panel. And they even came to our booth the next day just to let us love on them and share our hearts. And so that was one of the biggest things, was us getting that kind of confirmation, that encouragement, that word, that we do help balance the negative that is done at Comic-Cons by people poorly construing the name of Jesus. And so, always crazy grateful when we get to actually be a force against that.
You know, just to kind of wrap things up, this SuperCon is my second highest sales show ever. And it falls right below my first year at SuperCon. So if I'm not mistaken, here's my top shows ever. SuperCon year one, SuperCon year two, Fayetteville Comic-Con year one, and NC Comic-Con Oak City year one are my top shows ever. And I think maybe this year's Heroes Con right after that. But it was a successful show for me and for a lot of people, and to the point I'm pretty sure they're going to move away from Raleigh and end up going to Charlotte just because it was overcrowded, it was overbooked. But I just want to encourage you, enjoy these big box shows, but also make sure you still love on your local shows. NC Comic-Con, Oak City, Bull City, shows like that that are actually in the Raleigh community and doing things, make sure you love on them as much as you love on the big box shows. But yeah, that's important, because SuperCon, they're going to duck out or they're going to move on to a new city as soon as it's profitable, where these shows are going to stick around. So just to throw that out there, that's not a diss on anyone. That's just putting it out there for, we should make sure we love on our local shows in that, because, you know, it's really easy for the big boys to come in here and start swinging and make us not appreciate the folks that actually grind around for us through all the year. So I would encourage you to do that. But in regards to what makes this show great, and honestly what makes any show great to me, is the people. And, you know, I mentioned a couple people in specifics, but, you know, the people that actually care enough to come find our books, the people that actually care enough that even if they're not buying anything, that they're going to come visit. The people that come by to pray with us, the people that come by to encourage and strengthen us in what we're doing. That matters way more than dollar counts or anything like that. I will say this, though. This was Vincent's most successful show ever. Vincent didn't get to do SuperCon last year because he was on a mission trip. And this year, he sold like 3 full-size paintings like the first day, and he didn't know how to act. So high five and congratulations to Vincent. And I want to make sure that you know that even though writing the books is a big deal, Vincent's art makes a lot of what we do possible, and it connects us with people it wouldn't normally connect us with. Vincent's art is fantastic, and him and Stephanie and Rachel got to come hang out with us. Another big thing that actually made a difference to how great the weekend was just having my friends in the booth with me. Vincent, Stephanie, Rachel, Patrick, all my friends that came and hung out at the booth make it better, make it a great experience. Vincent, Rachel, and I got to go get some awesome sushi at a Sushi Blues in Raleigh, which was great sushi. I had a Guns N' Roses and something else that was spicy, but it's the most sushi I'd ever eaten in one sitting. And Vincent's a fat, fat moo cow because he ordered 4 full orders of sushi, but whatever. Sarah coming by, my friend Sarah came by to let me meet their baby. Hugo and Amanda came by, Deborah and Amy. I mean, like, there's just so many people, Courtney, Meeker, there's just so many people that came by, throughout the weekend. Nathan, Jonathan, I mean, there's a ton of folks that came by just to be a blessing to us, just to encourage us and let us know that they care. And, you know, that happens whether it's at Raleigh SuperCon or NC Comic Con or a mom and pop show down the road. It makes a big difference. Now, from everything I'm seeing, though, it wasn't all totally positive in regards to SuperCon. There were a good amount of people that were frustrated at the traffic. My friend Candace Davis, who's a big con enthusiast and knows the con world well, gave it, you know, 3 strikes before the show was over that she was not a fan because of the organization. But honestly, there were, as far as like the entry and exit stuff like that, the way some of the stuff was managed, it was kind of organized chaos for a little bit. Ooh, another big thing. You know how celebrities are a big draw? Well, you know, really, I would encourage you, if you are going to a show to meet a celebrity, do the signature or selfie over the photo op. Because of the photo op, you just are not going to get enough time with that person. At least if you're getting a signature or a selfie, you're going to get to stand around and talk for a while. I met Catherine Tate from Doctor Who, and literally we got to say 2 words to each other, and I was so busy the rest of the weekend I didn't get to talk to her again. So I got a photo, but I didn't get to interact that much. Get the signature. So the only other photo I paid for this weekend was Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And seeing him from a distance was cool and all, but I kid you not, when that dude opened his mouth and I heard Batman talk to me, made my heart race. Straight up made my heart race. Because that voice is Batman. And it wasn't even like he was doing a Batman voice. That's just his voice, man. And it was fantastic just to hear him speak to me. A friend, Hunter, had actually got me a signature a long time ago. But just to hear Kevin Conroy's voice say my name, talk to me, woo! That was awesome. Yeah. Another crazy thing is how long SuperCon is. And I'm not complaining. But it's like vendors, you know, usually come in an hour or two beforehand to set their gear up. And they had set, they, you know, the show went from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. two nights. That's bananas. That's a lot of hours. But again, the crazy part is, at least for Friday and Saturday, people were still there until the end. Now, Sunday, about 5 o'clock, you could have wrapped it up. But, man, it was just really long, long days. I can say this, by Saturday, I was emotionally exhausted and almost depressed because I was given out emotionally from feeling all the feelings. But it was good. It was really good. So I just want to share some thoughts on SuperCon while they are fresh in my mind. We're hoping that as I finish up, I've been doing construction with my church all summer and on the road a lot and speaking at camp, so we haven't been able to do a ton of the podcast. But we're hoping that as the summer is wrapping up and construction on my church should be finishing within the next week, that we'll be able to get back to normal. Chris Poyer and I have some big things in the works. Hope to do more with Vincent as we're doing our podcasting stuff. But I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for being awesome and actually caring enough to put this in your ear holes. And I hope you have a great day.